Hello and welcome everyone. We're so glad to have you join us virtually for this build session on Add AI to Your Solutions with Cognitive Services. I'm Netta Hybe and I'll be the moderator for this session. We have a dedicated area for you to ask questions and we request for you to take advantage of it and keep this session interactive. I'll bring up a bunch of questions for the presenter to address in the Q&A section towards the latter part of the session. Without taking any more of the time, let me invite Anna Roth to drive us through the session. Anna, the floor is all yours.
Hey, thanks so much, Netta. So welcome to the session. So today we're going to be talking about cognitive services. So I'll start off with some updates about some information about kind of what is cognitive services for those of you for whom it's new. Then we're going to go through some updates. So for those of you who are using cognitive services, we'll talk about some of the news here at Build today. Then a little demo. We've reserved plenty of time for Q&A. So go ahead and put in some questions and we'll kind of save some time at the end. So cognitive services. Cognitive services are a set of services in Azure, all oriented around machine intelligence. So we've taken best of breed models in language, computer vision, speech, and decision, and exposed them as easy to use REST APIs in Azure. They allow you to take, you know, these kind of common capabilities and add them to your own applications with ease. So there's a bunch of cognitive services. We won't be able to go into every single one. It's like, I don't know, 18, 20 or something. But they're kind of designed to be the most comprehensive set of domain-specific AI services. So that's everything from text analytics, and it's which has things like language detection and a sentiment analysis feature, to speech to text, which lets you take an audio clip of somebody speaking and extract the text from that, to anomaly detector, to custom vision. So a great variety of capabilities that you can add and remix in your own applications. So we can really think about our cognitive services as taking content from content to structure. So you can take something like an audio clip and get a structured response of, you know, what was spoken in that clip or who was the speaker, or an image and get tags of all the content in that image. So let's take a kind of a look at a quick example. Now, for this demo, I'm going to be showing you how to we put together two of our APIs. In particular, we'll start off doing OCR, so being able to take extract text from an image. So here we're using the read functionality of our computer vision API. And then we'll do translation. So we're using our translator API to translate that into another language. Now, for this demo, I'm going to be showing it inside this UX here. It's like a demo app. If you were actually using the APIs yourself, you'd probably do it sort of programmatically. It's just a little easier to show this way. And we want to reserve a bunch of time for questions. So here I popped in an image. And so once again, this uses our read API, which sits in the computer vision API and has very strong support for handwriting recognition. So we've extracted all the text out of this image. And you can see here, the extracted text is below. Now we can use our translator API and say, translate this into Dutch. Or Slovenian. Now, once again, I've shown you a quick demo here, but you actually can go ahead and build this on your own at home, as all the code is available on GitHub. Here on our cognitive samples page. So this is kind of the translator API explorer, which is part of our intelligent kiosk samples. So you can kind of go ahead and figure out, and put this together yourself at home, allowing you also to kind of compose our cognitive services. In the same way. So we've talked mostly about using cognitive services in the cloud, but one of the big investments that we've made over the last year is going from the cloud to the edge so that you can use cognitive services wherever your data resides. We have our cognitive services containers, and so a number of the capabilities in cognitive services across speech, language, and decisions have been exposed via cognitive services containers, so you can download those and do your analysis sort of locally or on-prem as needed. This is sort of commonly done if you have data that, for some reason or another, you don't want to leave your on-premise environment. You're able to get a key from our Azure service, you know, the kind of billing and telemetry goes through the cloud, but the actual data is processed all on device or on-prem. Now, there's a ton of cognitive services, so we can't go through every single one and I kind of every single update that they all have, but I wanted to give a couple of highlights. You know, we're always updating the service, but here's some of the things new at build. So it's what I'm especially excited about because it's actually what Netta and I work on day to day, which is our computer vision API and the read or kind of OCR functionalities. So at build this week, we GA'd v3.0 of the computer vision API, and this includes v3.0 of read. We've done a bunch of language expansion to read. So read is now supported in German, French, English, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and Dutch. On the container side of the house, we've taken two containers to general availability. That's language understanding and text analytics. We've also refreshed the preview of our Read 2.0 container. So speech has a bunch of new locales. I think it's 27 new locales in speech to text, as well as accuracy improvements across a number of models. Language understanding has taken a new portal to general availability. It's also called Lewis. This makes it super easy to kind of build intent detection. Looks really great. Personalizer introduced a new apprentice mode. And our custom vision service, which is one of our customizable APIs and cognitive services, introduced a new functionality to improve product recognition. And so if you're trying to do, say, counting objects on store shelves, custom vision service now performs much better in this particular domain, allowing you to recognize your products or audit them on a shelf. Customers. You know, so one of the things I love about working on cognitive services is that it's always really just amazing to see what customers are doing with cog services. You know, when you have a general purpose platform like this, you know, people just do such creative and amazing things. Like every day you hear about kind of new applications or interesting use cases of these services. We've got a bunch of wonderful customers using Azure AI, and I figured I would just call it a few. So we have KPMG, which developed a risk and fraud analytics solution. So what they're doing is that they're doing call center transcription. So they're using our speech API and some of our language services, including translation. And this has allowed them to reduce time and, you know, therefore costs by about 80% for this solution by introducing some automation with cognitive services. We have TIBCO. So TIBCO has produced a solution for field analysts where they're using our anomaly detector and our text analytics API to help field analysts make decisions more quickly. And finally, Universal Electronics, which has built a virtual assistant, a speech virtual assistant for voice-based smart devices. So if you have like a remote or a thermostat, you know, using cognitive services, now they have a virtual assistant for that. So all of these case studies and more are available at customers.microsoft.com. So on this site, you know, you can kind of look up all the Azure AI case studies, you know, what people are doing with cognitive services, get some inspiration for how other folks in your own industry are using AI, using cog services in their business applications. So I strongly encourage you to check out customers.microsoft.com for more details and inspiration. So let's do a quick demo. We're going to do a quick demo of our form recognizer, which is another one of our customizable APIs. So form recognizer is a service that once again lets you go from structure, from content to structure. So in this case, you have a PDF or an image of some kind of a form where you want to actually extract the content of that form into structured key value pairs. So for example, you might want to pull out the phone number or the invoice number, or the you know, who the the customer is or the email or this table here, so that you can put it into an ERP system, so you can generate some kind of downstream alerting or even generate kind of business analytics based on the content of these forms. And so Form Recognizer lets you train a customized model to do just that for the forms that you work on at your company. So let's do some demo. So what I am going to be showing you here, we're looking at our sample labeling tool. So it's an open source kind of companion tool. It's available for using with the Form Recognizer service. Once again, you know, I think if you're using this in production, you'll be doing a lot of this programmatically, but it's sort of easiest to demo this way. And so what I have here are five sample forms. You need about five forms to get started. And I went ahead earlier and I actually went and labeled some of these key value pairs. So this is sort of a credit card payment authorization form. And, you know, we want to extract things like who's the provider, what's the name of the customer, the email, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've labeled a bunch of these key value pairs. You can see here, you know, we have gone ahead and enabled and kind of labeled these things. What I want to do is add one more field here. So we haven't labeled the phone number here, but, you know, for my application, maybe I want to keep track of people's contact information in my app. And so I'm going to go ahead and add the phone number. So in Form Recognizer, we see here in yellow highlighting is that we've OCR'd the text. So we took the PDF and we've run OCR on it via our Form Recognizer API. And so I can actually go in here and click. So I'm selecting this text and I'm going to say that's my phone number. So now I've kind of labeled one more example of, okay, on this form type, here is the phone number right here. Now, earlier I went ahead and labeled the rest of these so that you don't have to watch me click through on, you know, four more forms. But you can see here we went ahead and provided a couple more annotated examples. So now I'm going to train a custom model. So we're going to click train here to call our train API. And fairly quickly, we expect to kind of see a customized model that's trained on our own kind of data and example. So you know, we have our model, we have our results. This is a fairly simple form, so you know, kind of high accuracy, which is great. You know, on a more complex form, maybe I would have needed some more examples. So let's test it out. So here I'm going to test out the custom model that I just built. I'm going to go grab a local file that I didn't train on. And this will now call our Analyze API inside Form Recognizer API, or our Analyze operation. And so what I expect to see here is my key value pairs have been extracted. So I want to see in a second, as you know, after we're done analyzing, I will want to see that, yes, we did actually go here and extract this phone number that we labeled earlier. So you can see here, voila. And so you can imagine, you know, now that I'm able to kind of extract these key value pairs, I can take that application and put it, take that data and put it kind of into some downstream application or business process that's specific to my own kind of custom form. So, you know, I think we tried to reserve plenty of time for Q&A and all of your questions. I'm going to kind of flag a couple of resources first. So, first, we called this out earlier, but we have customers.microsoft.com, which is full of kind of with case studies that you're able to use to kind of learn more about how to use some of these applications. Microsoft.com/cognitive will take you to a site that tells you all about what the cognitive services are. It's like the homepage for cognitive services. Docs. So in our documentation, we have quick starts for using all these APIs, including a quick start for using Form Recognizer. Translator API and the computer vision API's read functionality. This is new, so there's a new kind of Microsoft Q&A site. So this is a part of our documentation where you can ask questions and it'll actually get forwarded to folks on the team and kind of the subject matter experts to contribute answers. And then finally, you know, if 1 for 4 didn't help, you can email me. And I'll do my best, you know, we'll see how many emails I get after this, but I'll do my best to reply. So yeah, you know, so go ahead and ask any questions that you have sort of in the chat window. I think we also had a few questions sent in. And I think we were kind of happy to go over them. And then in a second, we'll also kind of talk through some of the related sessions at Build. Netta, do we have any questions?
Yes, so we're starting to get questions coming in. The first one I see is, does our OCR support handwritten and printed?
That's a great question, actually. So we support both handwritten and printed. So if I go actually back to this demo that we did earlier, you know, you'll see here we actually were able to extract this handwritten text from this example. I'll kind of grab one more in here, where sort of even handwritten style text we're able to extract. And the nice thing is that our form recognizer API uses the same OCR engine as you see in Read here. And so particularly in forms, it's often the case, you know, if you have a paper-based process you're trying to digitize, maybe it's paper-based because it has handwriting. And so we see lots and lots of customers taking advantage of handwritten text extraction for form recognizer.
Thank you. The next question that came in is, do containers need to be connected to the internet? And where is the data stored?
It's a great question. So today it is true that the containers, we have kind of what we're calling like connected containers. And so you will need to be connected to the internet because you're actually using an API key that you kind of get from the Azure portal to activate that container. And then it phones home just for billing and like billing kind of purposes. Your data, however, you know, the data, any data that you're actually using to evaluate the AI models, that is staying on-prem, so that doesn't leave the container. So if you have an image or a piece of audio or whatever, that's all processed locally. And so what's sent back is basically, you know, you did this many API calls.
Go ahead. The next question is, for what scenarios do you see customer using Form Recognizer?
Absolutely. Well, folks, we're actually a little lucky here because Netta, who is not only our moderator, but she is, you know, the original PM for Form Recognizer. So I'll call out one example, but we may be able to have a little bit of back and forth here. So Wilson Allen has used Form Recognizer. Back to our customer slide here. So actually, Wilson Allen, who's used Form Recognizer to develop software for law firms to kind of expand their businesses by doing a bunch of kind of and finding business by using Form Recognizer and our text analytics service. We also have a great blog post out, I think actually just this week, on how Automation Anywhere and Ernst & Young are using Form Recognizer. And Netta, since you're the author of that post, would you like to talk about it?
Sure. So Automation Anywhere are using Form Recognizer to extract data from COVID health-related tests and helping the World Health Organization improve that part. And then they're not spending a lot of time manually processing these documents and forms. And that ability to automate this full process to expedite all the testing all the testing applications that are coming in. Another question that we have here, Anna, is on speech. What language does speech support?
About a gazillion. I have lost track of the exact number because they are constantly adding new ones. Like I think I said, they added like 27 locales just to Build. But the speech services have really broad support. Actually, one thing in the cognitive services documentation, we do have a page specifically dedicated to language support. You're able to see, I think it's linked to from here. Ah, voila. Reference, language support in the cognitive services. So let's head down to speech. So let's do speech to text first. Just tons and tons of languages. So I won't read them all, but I would say that all of the language support is documented here. So if you go to docs.com/Microsoft in the cognitive services section, right here at the top is pinned a reference about language support across all the cognitive services.
Thank you. And then one more question that we have coming in is, if I want to use the cognitive services, how much knowledge in AI do I need to do to create models or to train my models? to use this AI?
It's a great question. So the cognitive services are explicitly designed so that you don't really need to have any expertise at all. And so the philosophy here is we're exposing a lot of general purpose capabilities where they're broadly applicable to a lot of different applications. So when you look at the customers of cognitive services, you know, they vary from customers in manufacturing to professional services to education to kind of like software or kind of like IT. Like there's just a huge range of things that customers are doing because we really kind of pulled out these general purpose applications, these general purpose functionalities that you can kind of remix in your own app. And part of the thesis there is you shouldn't really need any particular expertise in AI to be able to like say use them. So like if you just want speech to text, like you just want to take what someone is saying and like, you know, be able to have the text there, like you shouldn't have to rebuild that from scratch. Like, you know, that has been built. We have like excellent models for doing that. And so we just expose that as a cognitive service so you can focus on, you know, the details of your own application. Same thing with computer vision API, right? You know, there's no reason to sort of reinvent the wheel on OCR when what you really want to do is just solve a problem of like, I need, you know, to know what the text is in this picture so I can kind of do the next thing in my app. And so rather the cognitive services are sort of designed to enable these capabilities and enable their customization in a way that requires no particular background kind of in AI or machine learning. They're designed for every developer to use.
Thank you. Another question that just came in is, if I want to use the several cognitive services, let's say I need to extract data from documents and then translate it and maybe convert documents to speech, how can I use all these cognitive services?
So I'll give a two-part answer to that. So depending on, you know, sort of two possible answers. So one question may be about sort of a little nitty-gritty kind of detail, but you had to have a kind of a different key for each cognitive service. And one of the things we've kind of recently done is introduce universal cognitive services keys, which supports, I think, most or all of the cognitive services in general availability. So you at least, you know, only have to have, you know, like one key. But if the question kind of is more meta, you know, the cognitive services, one of the things we talk a lot about on our team, especially recently, is this idea of being able to compose core skills. So we saw it kind of earlier in this example of when we did this demo of OCR to translation. Those are two different APIs. You know, first you're using the computer vision API to kind of extract one piece of content, and then you use the translation API to translate that content. Yeah, that's super common. We see customers, you know, maybe they have a piece of text and they first want to translate it. And then they also want to kind of get sentiment analysis on that text. Or, you know, actually one of the best examples is Video Indexer. So Video Indexer is a cognitive service that takes video clips and runs a whole host of services on it. So they are running, you know, they're taking video clips and they're doing speech to text. They're doing face recognition or face detection. They're extracting all the tags. And so these are really designed to be kind of totally composable. For very specific examples, I think you can head to the intelligent kiosk where a number of the demos actually are composing multiple cognitive services.
Thank you. Another question that's coming up is Form Recognizer GA'd?
That's a good question. Form Recognizer is still in public preview.
Thank you. I think we're almost out of questions. Do you want to share additional things with the audience?
Yeah, I'll give kind of a note on some of the related sessions. Actually, first of all, thank you, Netta, so much. And we have a bunch of folks on the team in the background that are helping with text questions and so on. So thanks to everybody who joined. So I think one flag on related sessions, although I think we're getting to the end of the kind of 48 hours of live build, there are a bunch of related sessions, and these will also be available for on-demand watching. So in the cognitive services category, this build apps using AI for a rapidly changing world covers Personalizer and kind of our decision category. You just saw this talk. We have a whole session on conversational AI, so that includes virtual assistants and kind of bot framework and all that. Speech, a whole section on speech, this one's great. And knowledge mining, actually, this is an Azure search session, but includes a lot of kind of document processing, form recognizer, that kind of thing. I caught part of that session earlier. There's also a bunch of on-demand content, including on containers. I think there's a whole actually on-demand session that Ned did on form recognizer, as well as tons of other cognitive services.
Awesome. Do you know for what other scenarios our customers are using? Like I saw, there's a question here about invoices and how do I use form recognizer for invoices?
That's a great question. So, you know, invoices can be sort of a challenging problem in some cases. So, one, you know, we do have customers that are using Form Recognizer for invoices today. It's actually a fairly common application. It's a more challenging problem because the data is often, like, pretty heterogeneous. And so it can be, you know, if you have, like, thousands of different templates that you're dealing with, that can be more challenging, although most customers have a small number of templates that really dominate. And so they're able to then use kind of form recognizer to speed up kind of like an accounts payable clerk entering a bunch of data. So it is a very common application.
Thank you. So, yeah, I think we're out of questions.
Perfect. Well, Neda, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
And appreciated it.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, folks.